And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a feared here on Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Henniker, New Hampshire. Still, tomorrow night we get the bus back and, we got to go trim some trees so it doesn't scratch my brand new paint job. And then we'll be in a few days, in a week from now, we'll be up at Pork Fest in Lancaster, New Hampshire, where we'll be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and then we'll stick around for Fork Fest, which is after that, and then Fork Fest will go through, I don't know, ever, the summer or whatever. We got a lot of things to do, but we're having fun up here. I'm playing farmer. I got farmer tan. You want to see my farmer tan? I got farmer tan. We're not doing video because we're busy. You know, that's we got to get the bus back. You know, one thing that I do, we have in the first hour, this is what we're going to do. He's going to be a little bit late, but we have Dylan Gingues, G-I-N-G-U-E-S. He'll tell me how to say that. Dylan, he's going to talk about Montana Document Services. Now, we've done that through Montana, the register of the bus, do an LLC, and then you get, and it's forever, and it costs less, and it's kind of, they can suck it. So we did that, but it's been months. And we're still waiting on the plates, so that's a thing. Yeah, COVID. So whenever officers go, oh, you're expired, I got COVID. Yeah, okay. That's my new excuse for everything. Oh, it's COVID, man. No, it's COVID. We got COVID. So is that going to be the excuse? You know, when I go up and embrace anybody, I go, come here, give me some COVID. Let me see that COVID baby. Come here. How afraid are you? And why are you afraid? You know, when Donna and Chal and Jay's wife go out and go shopping and everything, you know, there's still people wearing a lot of masks, and a lot of people, not so much. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to be in the second hour. We don't have a guest who get caught up on news here and so on and go over it because I haven't. I mean, I'll go through in the weekend. I go, okay, send the staff to put up stuff. Yeah, I wish I had time to read that. Ooh, and that's a good one. Ooh, what are they doing there? But you know, I feel the same. So every now and then when it does this, I go like this. This is what we do. You go at the bottom of Freedom's Phoenix in a lot of the links there at the bottom of any page. You'll have all these extra links. And then there you can look for the newsletter archive. What the newsletter archive is it's each dispatch that goes out by date. So I go and I look, what is it? June 16th, 2010. Let's see what 10 years ago, if it was any different. Because keep in mind, in 2010, you know, we were in the middle of the last whatever the hell is going on. You know, H1N1 had started, you know, been through that. And that's why we stocked up so much stuff. I'm going, yeah, I can see what they're going to do. They're going to do this pandemic thing. So, and it's always going to be about food. Hey, Dylan. So I go, all right, let's go see what they had. Let's see. We have U.S. revises estimate, British Petroleum well gushing 35,000 to 60,000 barrels per day. They got a bunch of oil they want to protect. Okay, got it. You know, can't do anything but oil. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. It's all about oil. Rating agencies dodge bullet in Wall Street reform bill. Credit rating agencies like Moody's and Standard & Poor's dodged a bullet on Tuesday as lawmakers decided to strip out a provision in the Wall Street reform bill that would have upended their business model. Well, of course, this is a Reuters thing to where we can't make any changes to make a change. And what it was is that rating agencies, Moody's and Standard & Poor, they are the ones that allow or enable all this stuff to happen, because you can't be traded as investment grade unless you're AAA, AAA, whatever up there. So they go to Moody's and Standard & Poor to get a rating. Well, based on what? Based on we said. Based on what they sold it to each other and the banks and back and forth and back and forth, and now it has this value, and the pensions can all invest in it, and it's theirs now. And then it goes away. Nothing's changed from the last thing. They just reflavored it and put it. There's so many lies. I tell you, Donna and I watched Planet of the Humans. It had the font like Planet of the Apes, and it was a Michael Moore thing, and one of the I think it was Shallon up here said, man, yeah, it was a good documentary. You guys should watch it. So we did, and it's on energy. And they're like, now they do what they call biomass. That's it, biomass. We have, it's green, it's renewable, it's biomass. We're just taking biomass. We're burning trash. Yeah, that's what it is. It's trees, entire trees. Forest, whenever you see biomass, they're just chopping down trees and burning them for energy. And all the energy it takes to do that, it'd be cheaper and easier if they just burn the coal. Coal is an enormous power source. Now, you should talk about, not having dirty coal or reducing the emissions or something. But, I can see that. But coal is an enormous power source for the planet. It's the vast majority of energy. And they're doing everything they can to try and eliminate energy. Our lifestyle is on energy. Energy, 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 energy. So I'm going, okay, it's all about electrical power. Well, they dumped on solar, too. And they go, oh, no, all the mining that's required, all the stuff, all of this, all of that. But now we're getting batteries that are going to be like out of this world, alien technology. Well, you got enough solar and wind, you can cover it. And it's renewable. And it's forever. And it's decentralized. This is one of the things that I think is really got. I don't look at, this and environment, blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, that's all very interesting, and you want to pay attention and everything. But that's not why I support solar. I support solar and you being able to make your own energy because of this decentralizing factor. It's down to the individual. It's down to me. I am responsible for. I make my own. I grow my food. I got my own well. I got my own power. Then you can have like a life. Nope. That is the problem. That is the bugaboo in the system to where you don't need them. Yeah, we watched V for Vendetta too. V is for Vendetta, Jane Shallon and I, we watched it up here, and I go, yeah, you want to know what this pandemic, this scamdemic that Jay always, he doesn't talk to anybody without bringing it up. I mean, So it's amazing that you can watch that movie and go, oh, I get it. They're following a script. Yeah, I think so. Let's see. 10 years ago, plastic designer molecules may boost immune system. Yeah. Plastic molecules made to mimic the body's natural disease fighters injected into living animals behave like antibodies, latching on the foreign molecules and latching on a whole bunch of other crap too. I'm saying, yeah, plastics. It's gonna make you healthy. Did you get your plastic today? Ugh. Oh, and this is by Cat Pau Gamo. Yeah, he was my senior editor. He passed away. And, Pal always has some good stuff. I miss Pal. Now, him to see all this stuff, he wouldn't be surprised at anything. Well, when we come back, Dylan's in. So we're going to get going on this Montana document services stuff. One state just makes something easier, better, cheaper, faster. Not faster yet. But all of a sudden, people flock to that. And it's going to happen more. They can't stop it. What do they have to do? They have to have a national. You got to be as slow and as expensive and as corrupt as everything.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Roads. Yeah, we need stinking roads. I mean, you know, 10 years, I'm just scanning through this. SEC, government destroyed documents regarding pre-9/11 put options. This is 10 years ago, June 16th, okay? Investigate this United Nations oil for food scandal is going on. Jack McConnell lies about Acorn during his confirmation hearing. Okay, remember Acorn? That was a Obama administration of hired all these progressives to go around and track and geostationary your front door during census stuff. And I'm like, yay. Environmentalists give Obama a pass on oil spill. He's okay, but we hate Bush. Fannie and Freddie Mac, you know, housing, government guaranteed financing, they're going on about how they screwed us. Fannie and Freddie for food. The Obama administration wants to do for food what Fannie and Freddie did for housing. Yeah, is that what they did? 51% of companies' health plans won't pass muster. Remember all the Obamacare and stuff that was going on? Let's see. Cop punches teen girl in the face. You know, what else is new? Oh, drone. Oh, the first private surveillance drone for the rest of us. You know, this is 10 years ago. The drone started doing it. Now I got new engineered stealth metamaterial is the blackest ever. Then it had, oh, we were interviewing Ray McGovern back then. That was cool. Let's see. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac ready to be delisted from New York Stock Exchange. Pete Kendall on Declare Your Independence. And he's a guy from Elliott Wave. I talked to Elliott Wave again. They predict different things in waves. Scott Horton, we were going on about, you know, the wars and so on. U.S. geologists uncover staggering $1 trillion cache of unmined mineral resources in Afghanistan. Let's go exploit them for minerals. Get some lithium. The world's most advanced electric motorcycle. Let's see, 3D TV glasses, undersea oil lake may be covering 40% of the Gulf. Oh, they're not short of oil, I don't think. Let's see, moon has 100 times more water, new studies suggest. I mean, you know, this is, you know, we keep track of this 10 years ago. 10 years ago. You know, that, and Obama's solution to the BP oil gusher is to name an oil czar or central command. You can see if you look back and you look at the Freedom's Phoenix email dispatch each day, and whenever you get it, you go, man, I've heard this before. This is seems like the same play. It's about energy. It's about oil. It's about, you know, and you go back, and there it is. You know, 10 years ago, it's all, you know, how, you know, Carl Denninger. You remember Carl Denninger? He used to do a lot of financial predictions, and he's been right. And he finally just said, look, I'm retired. I'm done. You know, this is, I already know where this goes. I'm going to go take care of business. You know, how much farther will we let this go? Oh, obviously far enough where they shut you down. You know, this is, it's amazing. You always, you know, it's talking about Arctic drilling here. Let's see. Hot spring bacteria helps unlock biofuels. You know, and you do that biomass, and it's cutting down trees. You see, it's just enormous, just swaths of land. They just take trees and they put it into a furnace. Trees. They call it biomass. Trees. Wow. You know, you just go back, and I see some of the old authors here and everything. Yeah, you know, it's the same, centralized control of whatever. But whenever you change something, you know, you have some place that just makes it a little bit freer. It's a little bit greener over on the other side. A little bit. People flock. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And a lot of that has to do with registering your vehicles. What is one thing that, you know, a lot of people got to do? You know, you want to get a driver's license and not, you know, go to jail. You know, some people just challenge. I don't have a driver's license. Like, Jay, I don't know. What's that? I'll do that. You know? And they're like, and then he sends them a bill. They were all freaked out this weekend. Jay wasn't here, so, you know, I made a fire. Because we had this big open field out there we cleared. He has all this brush, and he wants to make biochar. and you do it little barrels a little at a time and everything. And I'm going, you know, I just dig a hole here, put a bunch of the brush in, get it going, and then bulldoze dirt on it, and then let it, you know, turn to carbon and done. I did that. Boom. Here comes the fire department and the police. You did it wrong. You can only do it between 5 and 9 at night, and you got to get a permit. And I'm going, yeah, well, you guys are looking at your permits. It's online. So, well, you know, enough that, you know, here we are. So they had to put it out. They were really nice about it. And, you know, it's a warning and kind of, you know, thanks for your cooperation, sir. Thanks for your – and they were really icky nice. Well, the reason is because Jay has – he charges them $50,000 an hour for interfacing with them. Hey, oh, don't send us a bill, please, you know. So it's just it's just your attitude and different ways of doing stuff. Well, Montana has a mechanism by which you can register vehicles. Now, we're doing it with the bus, you know, but the COVID thing has been taken for freaking ever. Now, Matt, Dylan, let's make sure you're on the right mic. Say hello.
Hello,
right, do it again.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, that's that one. Okay, now, Dylan... Zhang, say your last name.
Zhang.
Zhang. Dylan Zhang. You know, spelled like you would never think that you would say that. Zhang. Okay. Dylan Zhang. And where are you from? You're youngin'. You're like what, 30 or something?
I'm 32.
32. And you're from where originally?
Berlin, New Hampshire.
Oh, so you're a New Hampshire guy.
I'm a native.
You know, I remember Berlin during the Levolution. We went up there. It was like a paper mill or something. It had a big, giant, just a little valley there, small town, and a paper mill that was shut down.
City built on trees, and it was actually considered a city at one point, and now it's dead. It's a dead city. But, yeah, they actually have a biomass plant up there. You were talking about biomass. And
it's so, trees, isn't it?
Yeah, trees, waste wood products.
Yeah, they'll take any wood. But they make sure they got enough trees, you know, that it's a tree thing. Is that how it's sold to the people? You know, I mean, is it like, hey, you know, we're going to make electricity from, we're just going to burn trees. Just chop down the forest and make, you know, I don't think there's enough trees to do that. And you just do that. I don't see that being sustainable other than. I don't know. How does the ecology work on that?
So there's two mills in town. So I think they're using a lot of the waste wood from the mills and, you know, like less desirable wood from the logging operations local.
All right. That kind of surprised me. I didn't know that they – and it's just a political thing, you know, because they're talking about CO2 this and Al Gore is one of the big investors in this thing. I mean, you just – you know, you just got to – you go seriously – you can't trust any of these guys. So tell me how you came Free State stuff, and you're from here. So when did you first hear about it? How did that come about?
It was 2013 that I first seen the link or the picture of Pork Fest, and I was like, hey, look at this. A bunch of people carrying guns that care about freedom. And I went to Pork Fest.
And how many times have you gone?
Every year since.
So it's been... I don't know what, 7 years or something you're going?
Yeah.
You're going this next weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. All right, when we come back, we'll start right on at this Montana thing. You know, because I thought New Hampshire was fairly easy. They're a little bit different than, you know, Arizona and a lot of other different states. But Montana's got it going on. We'll find out how Dylan hooked up with that, and he's helping people.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Big Sky Country, Montana. We got a good plate. It might be take a little longer. We asked for a customized plate that has, you know, go out and play. And it has, like, kids, you know, run around in the field and whatever the hell. So, you know, this is becoming a thing. A lot of people in the Free State up here, a lot of people we know in Arizona, if you have any kind of RV, they're starting to register their vehicles. They, you know, because it's difficult to get hold of them going through the LLC of sending an address of you owe us, you know, a ticket of a camera gotcha or something. It's just, they're like, nah, let's go ahead and we'll do Montana. So, Dylan, how did you hear about this Montana thing and you get involved and you start offering your services to people? Tell me everything.
So my now business partner, James Ryer, was doing this years ago, and I wanted to get some vehicles registered. And there was a point in time where there was a lapse in the ability to do these registrations, at least via trust through James Ryer. I think it was originally called Shire Privacy Advocates. So what had happened was there was a trustee out in Montana that was necessary to the operation that had quit. And so paperwork wasn't able to get processed out there. At that time, you had to hand stuff in person at the DMV or MVD, whatever they call it out there. And I was going to California after 2 years of not being able to do these registrations. I was headed to California, and I was like, hey, man, what needs to happen to get the ball rolling with this? And he's like, well, we need to find a new person in Montana and just work on getting them to do the registrations for us. And so I stopped in Montana and spent about, I want to say, a month or two trying to get the process rolling again. I found people to be our partners out there.
So you have to have somebody there that will process the paperwork. And it's like in Arizona, they have what they call I don't know, off-track betting. I mean, it's a private service. You go into like one of these title loan places or some processing, whatever. You go up to a window just like you would a DMV, except they're faster and nicer. And you go in, you do all your stuff, and they do all the processing there. Give you your tickets. It's just much more diverse, spread out. They're in neighborhoods, and it goes a lot faster. You don't have as long lines. It's a private thing. But in Montana, when they do this, they have someone that can process the paperwork, but COVID, and then it stopped. You know, so how are you guys doing it now? What's going on?
Well, it hasn't exactly stopped for us, although things have definitely slowed down. So I've got a couple permanent registration or title requests, I should say, that are pending, and they've had the paperwork for probably at least 10 days, and it just says pending in the tracer system.
10 days? I'm like going in the months here. Okay, so when you go into these guys and you say, all right, we found a guy or a place that can interface with the state, what's the requirements for them to interface with the state?
Well, so actually now we don't need them to do so much interfacing with the state. So what happened is within the last year, MVD Express, who's done registrations for, I believe it's Texas or Arizona for years. Yeah. It's like a private organization that started doing the work for the state of registering people's vehicles. I think they even do licenses in Arizona maybe, or Texas, whatever one it is. But they took over in Montana for commercial divisions that are registering vehicles, like all these LLCs and registered agents you were talking about.
Right.
So we're the only ones that do trust, but, you know, we're considered commercial too, I guess, in their eyes. But
so is it a single address in one town, or are they spread out over Montana?
They're probably spread out every county. Well, that's a good question. So,
well, which is the one that you guys use?
We actually send our stuff to, I think it's Billings.
So when they take they're an interface. They process the paperwork. They get everything all done. And, you know, that's the process, but what's the end result? What are you getting? Why Montana? Who cares?
So at the end of the day, you get if your vehicle is 11 years or older, or regardless of age, if it's a title, a trailer, an OHRV, or a motorcycle, you can get a permanent registration.
What's OHRV mean?
Off-highway recreational vehicle.
Oh, okay. So if you, we got our bus thing, they go, yeah. You know, you register it here, you get this big bus, and it's one time, and you never have to register again. You get a permanent plate, and you're done.
If it's 11 years or older, yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely 11 years older.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do that, and then it costs how much, usually?
So we've been trying to work out the price details. We don't know exactly how they classify things. I don't know if it's quite based on weight. But so what we've come up with so far is like light duty, medium duty, and heavy duty. So if you have a light duty vehicle, you're looking at $375. If you have a medium duty vehicle, you're looking at $475. And if you have a heavy duty vehicle, $575.
Okay, so for $600, I pay one time, I get my vehicle registered through an LLC in Montana,
trust.
And then what?
Trust. We use trust. We don't use LLCs.
Okay, well, I mean, we did an LLC thing, whatever. Gotcha. So, you know, so you go through the process, and then you're done, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, you know, I get a mail, I'm traveling, and they got to find me, and you didn't have in the lapse of, and getting your insurance, of, you know, explain it to me.
Correct, yes. So with the LLCs, that's not quite the case, although I believe the registered agents take care of your mail for you and your annual filing fees, but there's typically an annual fee involved with that too.
Oh, so if you do a trust, it's just, yeah, we're done.
Right, so we create the trust. Trust is domiciled at our LLP address in Montana, which gives, you know, the trust domicile there, and then we're therefore able to register the vehicle in Montana. And
who's your clients? I mean, this is you got a business going on. It's more than one person. You're filing paperwork. You're making a job out of it. I'm going, okay, so there might be a couple people doing it.
Yeah. So our clients are people who are sick of dealing with, you know, bureaucrats down at the DMV every year, or having to worry about, you know, annual registrations or inspections, and you know, just people that want to protect their privacy as well. So these plates that you ended up with, they, when you run the plate, it's the name of the trust. It's not the name of anybody who may be a beneficiary of the trust, you know? So there's a huge privacy screen there.
So do you have to, like, you go through these tolls and you just drive through the thing and they take a picture of, and they're going to get some. Did you don't have to worry about that?
Well, you know, you can definitely, if you do that, what happens is they might send some kind of automated traffic ticket to the trust mailing address. And, you know, if that doesn't get paid, as far as I know, Montana doesn't revoke registration for unpaid tolls or fines, you know, so like.
Well, then that's next. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to have seen this stuff. It works. It works. Man, it really works right up until it doesn't work anymore, you know, because the man wants to explain it to you. You know, this is – so is there a backlog? Is there a lot of people starting to do this? And whenever I do anything, I always do it right when it's the freaking, you know, hump. Everybody's doing it then.
Yeah.
You know, they think, Ernie, you're so progressive. You're out ahead. How did you know? I'm like, man, I'm Joe Sixpack. I was doing it with the wave of everybody else. I got caught in the, you know, in the rush hour. So is there a rush hour going on?
Yeah, there is, actually. So we're really swamped, and especially with the COVID thing going on, they've been, like, very too busy to really respond to us and even kind of let us know, like, what the hang-up is with our applications, and we have to, you know, be like, hey, what's going on with this title request, or what's going on with this, instead of them just telling us, and they used to do that in the tracer system. It's like this digital automated system, so we can actually get people temp tags, and what we do is we send in a copy of the title, send in a copy of, if you don't have a title, a bill of sale and a form of registration, and like same day we can get a temp tag. It's really cool. Good for 40 days.
Really?
Yeah. But it's all through this digital system.
Are there any other states? Or is Montana it?
I think Alaska has some what they call boroughs, which I think are like counties that have permanent registrations, and maybe one other place. I don't recall.
Man, you have a crack in the bureaucracy. They're penetrating the bureaucracy. I mean, you got one little crack, man. Everybody floods over. What does that tell you? Freedom pops, man.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Give me some more freedom, and we'll keep it here.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Ba-rum.
Covering
the secrets and exposing the lies. You know what? They have a meme here, and it has the Amazon speaker thing. And it goes, people in the 60s, the government will wiretap your home. People now, hey, wiretap, can cats eat pancakes? I mean, you know, what would you ask if you had the internet back when you probably did? You know, the internet really just started going with my kid. Well, it was about your age. You know, they're 30, 32. 34 around in there, you know, our four kids, and they grew up thinking this was going to happen, and now it's happening. The privacy. Well, you know, when you get to be a little bit more, when you're out driving your car, they just look at a license plate. They know 87.6% about any and everybody that's in and doing what and who and where you are and where you're going and what your thing, everything. I'm and it's going to be more and more and more. And hell, private companies know more than the government. And, of course, they're interfaced, and they got this royal alliance going on between the crown and the privateers. So you get a little bit of insulation of, none of your business. I do that. Plus, I don't have to keep interfacing with the man all the time. What up with that? So when you do this through Montana, what records do they have? What are they sending you? What are they doing?
So Montana gets an MV1, which is just basically the application, which has the vehicle listed, has the...
Bring the mic closer to your mouth.
Has the vehicle listed, has the name of the trust. They also get a statement of trustee, which states that Montana Document Services is the trustee, and that also has the name of the trust. And you can actually put like a successor trust on there. And have a double trust, a beneficiary trust.
So that if the husband dies, it goes right to the mom or something like that?
Well, that happens anyway using a trust. So, they don't actually get a copy of the trust.
How long have you been doing this?
Ooh, well, kind of smoothly. Only probably about 6 months or so. But, we've
off
been plugging away at this for the last 2 years, getting it back smoothly. James did it for a while before, but... Then we dealt with a lot of bureaucracy when I was out in Montana trying to get the ball rolling. There was the county treasurer was just, she would come up with stuff like not in the books. We would go by the books, we'd be like, this is what it says.
Book don't matter.
Yeah, so, they don't follow the books. We know that, but.
So this is, I'm sure, you're doing it for a profit. Cool. One less thing I got to do. But the, is there a volume of what? It's people that what? They don't want to be bothered with the paperwork. They want to have some of the privacy aspects of it. Or what do you think is the main driver?
I would say they don't want to be bothered with paperwork. It's definitely one. Also, the privacy screen is wonderful. They just, I don't know who's driving the vehicle until they pull over the vehicle and because they're coming up with some BS, reasonable suspicion to figure out who it is, which has happened to me before in towns that I'm in a lot. If I'm living in a town, they're like, all right, well, who's driving this? And they'll, I had a cracked windshield. They pull me over and what's up with this registration in Montana stuff? And, I explained it to them cause I'm happy about it. I'm like, one cop was like, hey, I like that plate. It was a 1776 plate. And I'm like, I'll give you a discount.
they always say they want to get you in a conversation and then, ding, gotcha. The interface with the officers up here now is kind of, rare. Are they just not pulling people over as much, or they are, or they don't want to shake you down? It's kind of getting sketchy up here. What's their mindset?
I don't really know. I don't get pulled over too often. I got pulled over with somebody else the other day. Actually, I did get pulled over the other day, too. But I think we're kind of lucky up here in New Hampshire. Cops aren't as bad as other places, and a lot of cops are pro Second Amendment and stuff, so especially when they see our 1776 plates, they either A, assume that we're constitutionalists, and they usually assume that we're Second Amendment people. So I feel like they kind of give some respect to that, and when they see Montana plates, they don't look at us like, hey, it's people from Mass or Rhode Island or whatever. They're like, oh, those people are from Montana, they're from the woods more than us,
so you're all good. Yeah, this is you're also well, first off, give out your web page. Somebody needs these services, let them know. Do a commercial, man.
Yeah, so we don't actually have a web page, so we're actually we're looking to hire somebody. I'm looking to hire someone.
Yeah, me too. I need social media. Hey, out there, you guys, social media. I'm hiring a permanent, full time rock and roll. You better know what you're doing. I got money, so let's do it. Waiting on you now. All right, go ahead.
But so I got an email for everyone. It's Montana Document Services LLP at gmail.com.
Montana Document Services LLP at Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I remembered that.
And
it's easier than saying your last name. The say your last name again.
Zhang.
It's spelled G-I-N-G-U-E-S. Jang. God, man. Is that Mandarin or something? What?
Apparently, it used to be Shank. So one of my aunts, I guess, did some genealogy work. It's a German name, Shank. And then I guess my German ancestors moved to France, and the French abominated it and turned it into, you know, Zhang.
Zhang, whatever. You know, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Well, Dylan, you know, you're a hard worker around here. You're always saying, hey, man, Dylan's coming. We'll get some stuff done today. So you just, you're working off and on for Jay, just getting stuff done?
Yeah, well, Tuesdays is my solid day for Jay. I was just working for Jay, and then, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do some hauling for him and Bardo. And so now I'm doing work for both of them. But Tuesdays you'll find me here, and maybe some other days during the week too.
Yeah, no, you got
– it's great.
You're here. You get a lot of stuff done. This is pretty nice. It's coming together.
It's great. I love what's going on here. They're doing amazing things here. It's just, you know, building community. They're building self-sufficiency. I'm learning a lot doing this homestead and stuff. It's great. I love working for these guys.
Jay is such a wealth of information.
Yeah.
It is so amazing. Zombie apocalypse, bring that crap on, man. I'm all over it. You know, he'll get taken care of. This is, you know, are there other locations or outlets up here or people that are doing the same kind of thing, just self-sustaining on their little farms?
Well, kind of. I would say Bardo, you know. Bardo's a farm, and they're
yeah, no, Bardo's like an industrialization of food, you know, for the Free State. I've been up there, God, a decade ago. You know, went and stopped by and saw all their stuff. They believe in hogs. They're big hog thing still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're getting into beef pretty heavy. Yeah, what they're doing is fantastic. I mean,
well, how much land did they clear for? Because I knew they had a lot of trees and they had a lot of property up there. They had to clear the trees for cows. What is going on there?
I'm not quite sure how many acres they cleared, but I think actually I'm working on putting up more fencing for another grazing area for the cows. So they've been expanding. They've had a lot more requests for meat, especially during this time.
Yeah, they're requesting for slaughterhouse dates. I guess you got to schedule when you're going to come in, because everybody's got, you know, you only have so many slaughterhouses, and you can't get anything until like summer of 21 now.
So Adam's slaughterhouse down in Mass, the USDA butcher, they're booked through 2021 already for cows, not necessarily for pigs, but it's filling up quick.
That sounds like a business opportunity to me.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to be opening them a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, actually, it reminds me. I got to talk to, there's another guy in the Liberty community that wanted to set up a trailer that you could run around and do butchering operations out of, Jesse.
You know, that was a thing. When I was a kid, I remember they had a big trailer. They pulled it out right out in the freaking field, and you'd butcher a cow right there, the whole processing right there on out in the field. You know, they had a big, you know, set up, and it went in one side, came out the other, done, chopped up, and they'd even hang it for you. They had refrigerated trucks to do different stuff. What is the aging of meat about? I don't even know what that's about.
I don't know. I hear some people hang animals for a week, sometimes 3 days, and it makes them more tender, I believe, but I'm not sure.
Well, they've got a reason, I'm sure. Well, we haven't seen Jay yet this morning. He went last night, got another 50 hogs.
Yeah, yeah, they're going at it.
It's, you know, they had hundreds and they sold them all. They go, hey, I think we want some. I mean, you know, something. You know, so they're making bank on this. So this, yeah, that's another thing he said. He goes, remember the campaign pork, the other white meat, you know? Because it's not supposed to be. I always wondered about that. Why is pork white? I thought they were more like people, you know, flesh and stuff. He goes, because they raise them on concrete, they don't get iron.
Yep.
The iron, they have to give them supplements so they don't die. You know, put them out in the field, red meat. Get over it, you know. We've been lied to so much on so many things, but there's cracks. Give out your email again.
Montana Document Services LLP at gmail.com.
See?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence in Henniker, New York. New Hampshire. And we've been busy. This farming thing is like, you know, it's like work. There's work all day, every day in the one. You know, it doesn't get dark until, 8, 9 o'clock or something. So you're out there and all of a sudden it's time to go to bed. You get up, you work, you go to bed. Repeat. And then it's winter. And you don't work so much. So this is a good experience for us. We've done this kind of hard work before and so on, but I can see, you know, it's rewarding, you know, but as long as you're left alone. You know, you're doing all this work, and then somebody says, you can't do that. You do it a little different way or do something else. Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. It's like that for everything all over the country, you know, everything. And I give you an example. When we are leaving our home in Phoenix, we go, all right, we got to get packed. I'm looking forward to just cutting all of this stuff. Well, what do you still have? Do you still have your antivirus software that has a monthly pull off your account, or every year they want to renew of something? You know, you got that. And let's see, you got your surveillance device. You know, you got your phone and everything. Yeah, your computer. Your subscription to whatever the heck it is that you got online. You know, what about, do you have a PayPal account? You know, crypto's not so bad, but there's no customer service. I mean, and that's too bad, dumbass. Oh, okay. You know, so what else do you have ties to? No, utilities go away. Let's see, state taxes. I'm not, you know, where do I got to fill out for which state of what? I don't know. I don't really care, so I'm not worried about that. But let's see, vehicle registration. So that's why we're doing the Montana thing. I go, yeah, we'll just, Montana. We still have the Jeep Liberty is Arizona. So, you know, we'll see how this other thing goes. I'm just like, God, do I start the process for that? And, you know, it's a thing, you know, we'll see. So we need to do that. Do you need to have a driver's license? That's arguable, but where and how and what state do you want to, you know, eventually be identified with? Seeing as how you're identified, you know, so, all right. But the bills, the ties, the junk mail, you know, the stuff, where do you get your mail? I think Donna, we're just so busy, we didn't even set up a, you know, travel mailbox or any of that stuff. She just had it forwarded to a mailbox where my daughter goes and gets it every week. You know, if that, anything important in there? No? Okay. You know, put it in a box and put it in the trash. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not worried about it. That's the Donna thing. So this is when you do that, how many ties do you still have? What kind of bureaucracy are you dealing with? What is it that you got to do? When they went to permanent registration of trailers, I was like, thank God. Because we got a few trailers, you know, we do this and that. And then it's like, you know, how much paperwork do I got to do? I remember when this is all starting to change with, I guess, computers, you know, and, digitalizing everything, including your dental x-rays. But they got digitizing of all of the vehicle registrations and so on. So they went, you know, we don't need to have you come in every year and all this stuff and paperwork for a trailer. You know, that's permanent. So when they went permanent registration on trailer, boom, get all that. Then they, you know, on car registration, you go 2 years. And if it's a new one, you know, then maybe you don't have to do emissions. All these things were just because they could. It wasn't really for anything other than just a revenue stream for various different people, different things. We've challenged them all. In Arizona, Your car registration is personal property. They charge you based on its value. So when you buy a new car, I go, ooh, I got me a new sports car. Yeah, that's like $1,000 a year in vehicle registration or more. It's based on its value. By the time it gets to be a 10-year-old, you know, SUV of, you know, nobody cares, then it's like, you know, $50 a year or something like that. But you buy a new car, they're going to explain it to you. So this is, it's all these incentives and punishments, sticks and carrots. It just has an impact. And who's doing this stuff? You know, I had a friend that lives in Atlanta, and we're going on, this is all planned. And no, it's, you know, yeah, show me where it's planned. You guys just say that, no proof, whatever. And I'm going, what do you need to know? You know, well, what are they doing in Atlanta? You know, I go, Soros. Yeah, it's a Soros money. Yeah, you know, Atlanta. You know, you want to know? I'll go look. Well, here it is. I didn't even look. Project Veritas, Refuse Fascism, an activist group created to remove Trump from office, uses Antifa-like tactics. T. Stern, the Refuse Fascism organizer in Atlanta, says they received money from George Soros to fund their National Day of Appreciation for Abortion, something, Parenthood, you know, whatever. Yep. Done. Atlanta, Soros. Next. It's all over. And it wasn't just it's money for particular, you know, groups or things. It's for a philosophy. It is just to cause strife. There, we put it up a few days ago. It was G. Edward Griffin, the guy that wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, in 68, I think it was. It's him doing a film. You know, it's like, you know, black and white, young G. Edward in a Laura Petrie's living room or something, or Leave It to Beaver, June Cleaver. You know, it's just you got that feel. And then people in their nice dinner jackets and suits and, you know, poofy dresses, and they're sitting there, and he's just explaining what they're going to do. The communist mechanisms for, you know, exporting revolution is by blah, 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 and they did it. They are doing it, and you listen to that. It is, what, 50, 60 years old? And it's just, this is how they do it. And this is what they're going to do. This is how they do it. And then they pull the trigger, and they do this, and they got that, and then they're done. But there's always those that just, nah, I'm not afraid. I'm good. I'll be over here. Well, the state spends so much of their time and resources in the form of law enforcement, media, and a government school system to try and beat humanity out of you. At a certain point, when you push back, it becomes so freaking obvious. After last week, we had Carla Garrick on. She is one of the heads for a long time. She's really been pushing the Free State Project here in New Hampshire. And she's working with the others, you know, Rachel Goldsmith and some of the others are putting on Pork Fest this year, which is going to be interesting because it's not as organized or corporatized or whatever. I mean, I'm sure they want sponsors or whatever the heck they had to do. But it's just Free Staters helping, you know, Rogers Campground, make sure we have a festival and make some money and have some fun, and we're not locked down. Yeah, they're going to go do it. So we'll be up there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. They're going to show up with some clipboards. I want to see that with a bunch of armed freedom guys. That'll be interesting. But so they putting this on. Now, Carla, you know, this is the disagreement between Carla. It's not really a disagreement. It's just style. But she believes that a strong organization in support of freedom, you know, with a good articulated whatever, is helps change minds. You know, you start getting a culture of freedom and so on. And I'm like, you know, individual activism and families and everything, you know, that's the general public opinion and voting and, you know, groups and spontaneous order of temporary voluntary alliances kind of happen as a result of that. So it could be a combination of both. But we had dinner with her, and we'll talk to you about it when we come.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, you guys want to stick around for the next hour with Dr. Frank Lincoln Trump report. That'll be interesting. He does not get enough time. He's like, oh, there's so much to talk about. Tim Pachote, Liberty Advisor, I think he's going to come on too. And when he gets time and Monk's kid raising and stuff, he'll pop in and say, yo, what's up? The we had dinner. We had Carla Garrick on the show last week. And then I think it was Friday night, we went and had dinner with her and her husband, Louie, and Bill Domenico, and I think his wife's Gail. And Bill Domenico has always been a techie guy. He's you know, like a Derek, you know, with 100-watt lasers playing in his upstairs. What he has, I think he owns the building. He has a building that's, at least three or four stories, and the entire upper part is his. So it looks like Walgreens. I mean, you go in and it's just aisle after aisle after aisle of all kinds of projects and, you know, like Home Depot shelving with stuff and electronics. And it's fairly organized. I mean, you know, it's you can get work done, but it's got a lot of projects. He's definitely into the laser and, you know, making all kinds of different things, signs and stuff and doing photos. It's just, but he goes on surplus and buys government, industrial, whatever the heck, and repurposes and puts, got, you know, he's one of those guys. You know, I built this laser out of rail aluminum that it could be disassembled to put into the blah, 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 you know, amazing stuff. But he's been here since forever. And I remember, a decade ago, he started doing lasers on the buildings at Pork Fest. He charged for ads. Go to space so-and-so and get a free something. I mean, you know, it's the technology, we called it lasering. Graffiti X, graffiti laser. So they were doing it in Europe. And they would just show up with a three-wheeled bicycle that had batteries and a projector on it and a computer, and an entire side of a building would be a sign, and they just have a flash mob there. And I'm going, that is awesome. Well, that's what Bill does. So now it's getting to where you can, I mean, this stuff, you know, the insurgencies in different countries where you always have problems is at the checkpoints. It's always somebody, you know, stopping you, telling what you can and can't do and pointing a gun in your face. So where do you have the blow-ups? Where's the suicide bombs? Where's the massacres? Where's the gunfire? You know, it's at checkpoints all the time. It's almost like they want it to happen. They need it to happen. Well, if you got a bunch of improvised explosive devices, IEDs, you know, or, that's it. In Iraq and Afghanistan, and so, you know, they're using cell phones, I go a little pissed off technical geekified 18 to 25 year olds, what do you think is going to happen in America? It's going to be creative. They're you know, they, them, those are not going to win, but it's not about winning. Hell, in a battle, you know, they, them, those fund both sides. And they say, yeah, we'll fund you, but you're responsible for the other guy's debt. And then the other guys go, yeah, we'll fund you, but you're responsible for the other guy's debt too. They don't care who wins. They just want the spoils. This has happened over and over and over. Once you recognize that, what if they had a war and nobody came? A war between people, between races. This racial thing is wearing thin. I think a lot of people are just going, this is not a black-white thing. This is a they, them, those versus us thing. You know, so I feel your pain, brother. It's not because you got a black skin, it's because you got a freaking left jack boot or a right jack boot on the jack boot on your throat party. That's where we got a commonality here, and that's what I think people are finding out. Well, having dinner with Carla, she got a plan. She's running for Senate. You know, here in New Hampshire, you have a legislator for about every 3,000 people. I mean, it's like neighborhood, you know, town hall thing. You know, that's the House of Representatives. But I think there's only 24 senators. So it's the Senate that really runs everything because they can veto or vote down or not pass on to the government, whatever. It's the senators. So Carla's going for Senate and give them what for and getting, you know, some attention and saying the right stuff during all this crap. You know, every other politician's is, you know, how much butt kissing can I do to Uncle Sam or something. I don't know what the hell is going on or what they're even thinking. You know, Black Lives Matter, and you got like none percent black in New Hampshire. So the virtue signal is I wear my mask and I, you know, put a Black Lives Matter sign in my front yard next to my campaign sign. I'm like, man, are they believing their own press? Is this something that they're instructed to do by the party or activists or campaign managers, or there's funding involved, or Soros is slinging around a check or something? I mean, where is this coming from? Who's the person that's for individual freedom? Proper role of government to defend individual rights. Doesn't do that. Time to alter or abolish. It's your right. It's your duty. Okay. I'm okay. And the New Hampshire Constitution rocks. I mean, Arizona's pretty good too. You know, New Hampshire was kind of live free or die and bite me in the beginning. And a 48th state, you know, 100-something years after, 1776, so 1876, 1912. So that's, you know, 130-whatever years that Arizona had to, you know, we want it like that. It was pretty progressive. You know, the idea of progressivism back then was, you know, less power to central authority down to the people. And so Arizona's constitution is pretty clear and it rocks pretty good. Well, you know, in New Hampshire, they have a provision, the right to rebellion. You know, really. And the right to, if it's, you know, arbitrary and confusing and BS, and you can sit on the beach, you can't sit on the beach. You can go in the water, but you can't go in the beach. You go in the beach, but not in the water. And it's unconstitutional for being stupid. I remember in Texas when I was there one time, it was there was a provision, basically went like this. The way I read it and understood it was he deserved killing. That was one of the things. The jury is like, you know, you probably could have got away with not killing him. We could, you know, the guy did this or that, but he deserved killing. So, you know, we give you a pass. You know, each state can be different. You can do all kinds of stuff. I remember in Texas, there was a problem. The way they had it worded, it made it, you could interpret it as you would get a ticket if you didn't have a six pack of beer in your truck. Hey, man, this is, I think I have to have it. Isn't that what that says? So, you know, it's just, you know, stuff like that. But each state be different, be a draw. Well, Carla, not only she going to go for Senate, we'll see what happens, you know, within a decade or so. She's young. You know, I mean, she's not, you know, she's not a kid, but, you know, she's not, you know, senior citizen. So, you know, a decade, she could run for governor. Then what? You know, free state, you know, this is her plan. She's got a plan. She's from South Africa. She saw what happened there. She was a big, you know, advocate against apartheid. You know, she's like, you know, equal rights and all that kind of stuff, but go America. So they went to Silicon Valley. Her tech, she's a lawyer and her husband's a tech guy. They go and then, you know, the dot-com bubble happened. The difference, you know, America's great until it's not. And you start to see the same thing. It's like Ayn Rand. You know, from the Soviet Union, she goes, you got the same seeds of what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I'll tell you, you know, in order, in Atlas Shrugged, what's going to happen. And it's happening. But there's always, always the freedom guys there. Solutions.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And the countdown to the Trump Report with Dr. Frank Tamburi and Tim Pachoke coming in. Of course, Frank, oh, I should start a pool every day. Will Frank be late? Will he push the button after the music starts? Will he come on? To God, man, the guy is batting, God, over 900. It's easy. I give him crap because, you know, I was just keeping track. Holy crap. But he does show up, you know, when he feels like it. So then it's always entertaining and fun. So whatever, you know, just making him be late part of the betting pool. You know, one of the stories on Freedom's Phoenix is the Karen mindset. And I started watching it, and it's 44 minutes long. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's on the Karen mindset. And I guess what it is, it's, you know, middle-aged woman, you know, that usually white, you know, coming up, going to explain it to you. You're doing it wrong. They have the benefit of social media support, influence, law, order from the governor, something that justifies them coming out, and they're an enforcer. You're doing it freaking wrong. And you got it. You know, I'm like, wow. I was always of the mind that the government was there to protect me from Karens, you know, and people like that with a mindset and a gun and a shiny badge, you know, telling me how I am to pursue my own happiness. I'm like, ouch. It's going to be very interesting. We're going to be doing a lot of reporting from Porcupine Freedom Festival. I'm not sure how we're going to upload. I think what we can do is we're going to be doing segments and a lot of stuff from the bus, and then we'll be putting them into the show, or we'll just have standalone videos and so on. That's what the bus is about. You know, we're still working on some stuff to make it better and better and better. And once we get on the road and the bus done, and now then Don and I will have time to start pimping out, you know, artwork and the different framing text and this names of the guest on the stream underneath and pretty graphics and hire and make, you know, burning phoenixes and blah, 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 blah. We'll get to it. But, you know, we're just so busy. I'm looking to hire. You know, everybody's a social media expert until you need a social media expert. They're not a social media expert. Well, I know how to do my Facebook. And I go, I need somebody that really knows what they're doing. It's like trying to find, you know, to build a web page. What we did with Freedom's Phoenix is that, you know, I invested a bunch of time and money into having it to where I could create whatever I wanted through this. The system is kind of like a Facebook. I can create my own pages. I can forward links to different pages and have its own special editions with its own editors and own dispatch and advertising. It's a separate, every one. Anybody who wants to do that, you know, rock on. It started off that way. When it started in 05, when YouTube started, we started setting it up. You know, we knew what we wanted to do. It just took time to do it. And people started using it and doing it. But this platform's easier over here. Well, it was YouTube and Facebook and all this stuff. They, for convenience, they went over in Central Command. Well, ours was convenient. It's easier to use, you know, once you know how to do it. I mean, you go through the tutorial or something, and it gives you a lot more power. You know, Facebook doesn't let you do your own banner ads. Facebook doesn't let you have your own email dispatch, you know, to your list of people and subscribers. Facebook doesn't allow you to have your own writers that can log in and do whatever they want. It doesn't have your own special edition page. They don't do that. But they got bigger audience. That's why I go, no, you build your own audience. You build, because if you don't have it decentralized to where you're in control of it, you have the domain. You have the, if you don't do that, and then on whatever platform we do have that, you know, I'm a benevolent dictator. You know, it's my freaking page. Get over that. But I'm, you know, I don't care. As long as you're sincere and not violent or doing whatever, you know, I don't care. But that's the thing. I still am Central Command. You know, there's still somebody, a guy, you know, Jack Dorsey. You know, there's still somebody, which is fine. You know, do whatever. But what do they want government protection from? Copyright. Somebody puts something up, you want to be protected. Hey, man, I'm just a platform. Just a platform. You took this person down. Now you're a publisher. You're not a platform. Ouch, quit it. You got to get to where it doesn't matter. Well, last week, you know, Tim might have something to say about it when we have him on. You know, a lot of the people were talking. I think I do the ripple effect tonight or tomorrow. Because I went on and, you know, gave them a spiel of solutions. They're just talking about, oh, we'll start our own thing. Well, when all this censorship and stuff happened, Natural News, Mike Adams, the health ranger, Mike Adams, you know, the health ranger, he started Brighteon. Now, I remember early on getting invites to go do Brighteon, and I got one question. Can I have my catapult channel on there? Little baby furry white kittens being catapulted in the sorrel cactuses. Boom. If you can't take that down, then I know I'm free. And if you do that, the cat, you're a butthead. But, I mean, you know, that's a whole other issue. But my point was the internet is cats. You harm a cat, man, somebody's going to be protesting in front of something, you know. What if there's nowhere to protest? What if it's a decentralized nodes of worldwide of fractions of a file assembled to put and always available of they can suck it? Well, we talked to some of the makers of Plandemic, the movie that is, you know, was censored heavily. We put on IPFS. That was so successful, and it kept it, you know, the files available so that other people could take it and put it up and kind of, you know, blanket the internet and people could go watch it if they wanted to anyway. You go Plandemic movie IPFS, boom, there it is. Permanent on, kind of, you can get it and done. So what did they do? They said, Ernie, we want you to, when we do release the other trailers and the movie, we'll give it to you first. To put out and seed it and do it and kind of, and boom, we'll start off that way. You were right. Yeah. And I know these guys, and I'm just like, look, I'm telling you, if they can, they will. Well, they can't. No, they can. And they freaking will. There is a day of outing Bill Gates. I think they already did it or going to do it or something. It's just, you know, there's so much stuff. Well, that was another thing. The Plandemic movie, they are doing a segment on Bill Gates. They were doing a bunch of research on it and asking me stuff. And I go, all you need to do is watch the four-part Gates series on the Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com/Gates. You go there. Boom. All the research and done stuff, and kind of damn. It gets so, but what does James Corbett do? He stipulates, you know, he makes sure it's all stipulated. They know, they admit, they got, here, it's records of, you know, it's not a secret. This is from their mouth. This is what they do. This is who they are. This is why they're doing it. This is it. You know, then you get people to watch V is for Vendetta, and you find out that the main character is the government. They were the ones that caused it so that they could be the, have the, the cure, get filthy, stinking rich, and control the planet. I'm going, does this sound like a movie script? How long does this go on? That's what's interesting. They're pumping money. They, them, those. You know, who? They, them, those. Is it Soros, Gates? No, they're just insulation. They're just the warts on the body. I mean, they're just, it's a philosophy. You get any one person. I mean, James said that, and you know, his last, he goes, it's not about Gates. You get rid of him, there's a big, giant, freaking cornucopia, plethora of, you know, lines around the block waiting to take their place. My turn. It is, you know, even in the Planet of the Humans, their big thing was population. There's just too many people. Now we got to get rid of all these people. Which ones? I don't know. You first. You know, it's so. And it is an energy thing. I mean, I've known this is energy, 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 energy. We have become accustomed to a lifestyle that has energy. You know, there's a lot of energy, but they don't want you to have it or produce it. They want it to go through them. Al Gore is invested in biomass, burning trees for energy. What does that tell you? I'm like, oh, and he has them on tape. You know, Planet of the Humans. Go watch it. It was, you know, it's from the left, but man, is the left getting educated. They're going, we've been lied to. This is all BS. It's just corporate BS. Yes, it is.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In Henniker, New Hampshire. I'm going over the news here. Do deep state elements operate within the protest movement? My first reaction is, duh. You know, to what end? You know, how effective are we? Does anyone believe the nationwide riots and looting are a spontaneous reaction to the killing of George Floyd? Foreign Policy Journal had this to say. They go, revolutions are often seen as spontaneous. It looks like people just went into the street, but it's the result of months or years of preparation. It is very boring until you reach a certain point where you can organize mass demonstrations or strikes. If it's carefully planned, by the time they start, everything is over in a matter of weeks. You know, this is, I keep thinking back to when Chuck Schumer said, oh, they got six ways of Sunday to take care of Trump. We got, don't worry about it. Everybody, we don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We got, don't worry about it. And I'm going, yep, I'm sure they got a plan. What's their plan? What is it that they want to do? I don't know. They want to maintain control. This Tim Pool is a favorite of Dr. Frank. He keeps sending it because he's a liberal from Vice News, Vice.com, and he was skateboarder, and he's kind of getting older now. He's in his 30s, I'm sure, but he just calls BS on a lot of this stuff, so the left doesn't like it. Now, of course, the right, you know, keep forwarding this stuff or making the observation, but a lot of the guys and his guests, his long-haired co-host, and sitting there, and, yeah, dude, and they're like, you know, what happens in Seattle? Police are gone. Bunch of anarchists armed come in, say, now we're the police, and you owe us money. Now, we're protecting your business. That'll be $500. You know, all of a sudden, you got warlords. So what's the solution? You know, anarchy to what point? So Tim was, you know, Poole was making this observation, you know, different kind of libertarian levels of whatever. And I'm just, yeah, show me a non-coercive government and I'm all in. You know, pick one. Show me first. Prove it to me. But the real, that's why Declaration of Independence was such a big deal. It had such an impact on me because it was really clear. There's a proper role of government. When it gets outside that, then they're bad. Next, defense of individual rights. But once you give the power to a shiny badge, well, who wants to be in charge of it? Warlords in the form of shiny silk ties, you know, or they got always the available gun behind them or a law or something. It's just, it always devolves to that. You know, you need to have, if you're going to have a government, it's there to protect the individuals from invasion, foreign and domestic. I mean, from, you know, not being left alone. It's just an excuse. They're looking for an excuse to Karen you with a gun. It's all too coordinated, too widespread, and too much in sync with the media narrative that applauds the mainly peaceful protest while ignoring the vast destruction to cities across the country. What's that all about? Do the instigators of these demonstrations want to see our cities reduced to urban wastelands where street gangs and Antifa thugs impose their own harsh justice? Was this the Taliban? That's where this is headed, isn't it? Of course, there are millions of protesters who honestly believe they're fighting racial injustice and police brutality, but more power to them. But that certainly doesn't mean there aren't hidden agendas driving these outbursts. Quite to the contrary, it seems to me that the protest movement is actually the perfect vehicle for effecting dramatic social changes that only serve the interests of the elites. For example, who benefits from defunding the police? Not African Americans, that's for sure. Black neighborhoods need more security, not less. And yet the New York Times lead editorial on Saturday proudly announces, yes, we mean literally abolish the police because reform won't happen. Check it out. We can't reform the police. The only way to diminish police violence is to reduce contact between the public and the police. I'm hip to that. There is not a single era in United States history in which the police were not a force of violence against black people. Policing in the South emerged from the slave patrols in the 1700s and 1800s that caught and returned runaway slaves. In the North, the first municipal police departments in the mid-1800s helped squash labor strikes and riots against the rich. Everywhere, they have suppressed marginalized populations to protect the status quo. So when you see a police officer pressing his knee into a black man's neck until he dies, that's the logical result of policing in America. When a police officer brutalizes a black person, he is doing what he sees as his job. Yep. Yes, we mean literally abolish the police because reform won't happen, New York Times. So according to the Times, the problem, this is from Zero Hedge. So according to the Times, the problem isn't single-parent families or underfunded education or limited job opportunities or fractured neighborhoods. It's the cops who have nothing to do with any of these problems. We are supposed to take this seriously because the editors of the Times says so. They'd like us to believe that there is a groundswell support for this loony idea, but there isn't. In a recent poll, more than 60% of those surveyed oppose the idea of defunding the police. Defund the police. That's not, their job is there to enforce the edicts of the laws of some politician said, and you have to, or you can't. See, it's clear the mind fog. No fear, man. I'm just like, what's the question? Anybody wants us to move? You know, up here in New Hampshire, Don and I are productive. Yeah, hey, you should come up here and stay. Yeah. Does it snow? So we're traveling the country. There's going to be a lot of great. America's beautiful. I've been back and forth across America driving a gazillion times. This is the first time that we're probably mostly going to be driving during the day and only going a few hundred miles a day and stopping and talking to people and smelling the roses and doing a little, you know, history and geology and geography and anthropology and whatever, and where we go as a thing for our kids. We've been contacting every few days, you know, doing FaceTime with the family and Zooms, you know, and all that kind of stuff, talking to the kids and such. But I really want to do, we get done with all this so we have time to go into why is this wide spot in the road? Why? Why is Henniker here? What's up with Henniker? You know, is this where a creek crosses another creek or goes into a river or something? You know, what Native American habitat was here that we took over? You know, we killed them all and said, no, that's ours now. We like that valley. I mean, you know, what's the history? We're going to learn. You know, why here? Why there? Why? Well, a lot of it was just to get away. Got Mars, you know, got Seastead, got bottom of the ocean in the atmosphere, you know, airship. I mean, you know, it's just like they, them, those driving us further and further and further. And with humanity comes government. We're going to space and government's not invited. But it winds up being there. You know, that's one thing. I'm going to be writing some articles when I get time. I'll spend some more time on the keyboards because I like writing. It just takes me a long time and the piece might, you know, once a week or something. But, you know, I got questions. Starlink, get this internet thing taken care of. Everybody gets access to, is it approved, permitted, licensed ones and zeros? You're not allowed to use that phrase? How's Elon going to do that? I want to know. They go to Mars. Is there going to be a pad for Space Force? Oh, yeah, over there we got the outpost military on the horizon overseeing ISR on top of the ship looking down the valley of Space Force. Is that what's going to happen? We got satellites for the man keeping an eye on the Mars base for the man. It's a mindset. And you take this stuff with you. But I'm glad to see some innovation and people pushing back. But, you know, what's Elon going to do? They're talking about artificial intelligence running there. He goes, well, the only solution is, you know, human beings got to be smarter than artificial intelligence. We're going to plug in and we got a chance. That's his argument. Is he right? These are the questions. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. We asked the questions, answered the questions, and provide some solutions in the letters of Captain Mark and Reprisal and the other characters. Because to me, I'm just like, you know, I'm not going to depict, you know, exactly what technology and SHA-256 you're going to use for the encryption of the blah, blah, blah. It better do this and not that. Well, we have to, hey, you confuse me if somebody gives a crap how you do it. I just want it to have these features. Because I want to have these features. I know what freedom looks like. It's like leave me alone-ism. We're going to be traveling the country, meeting people just like Jay is a treasure trove here. I mean, all the people that come here, they're just drawn like magnets. They, you know, I got a little plot here. I want to help on this little piece. I want to test out. So, you know, done. And Jay's a yes guy. Yes. You can do that. You know, pace. Amazing. Amazing, 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 amazing how many solutions there are in the mindset here and across the country. And we're going to be highlighting that and inspiring each other that they're not alone. What was the biggest thing libertarians always go, am I the only one that sees this? What's going on? No, you're not. Even the firemen, they knew. I go, you know this is all BS, right? Well, you know.
And now, live. From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared, except for a good connection on Zoom with Dr. Frank. I can hear him. He can barely hear me. He wants me to turn it up. You guys want me to turn it up? Maybe I shouldn't turn it up so much. You know, what we got is Dr. Frank Tenbury is going to explain it to us. You know, we have there's so much going on, and I want to give him the opportunity to let him monologue. All right, Frank. Tell me everything that's going on. Go. Yeah, go. I put it in the Zoom. All right. Tell us everything. Tell us everything. Boom. Go.
All right. Well, it's funny with this thing. Well, welcome. I guess I'm on the air here, and maybe we'll do this by text message. But I'm able to – I know there's volume coming through. I can hear a strange audio hiss coming from Ernie's side, but I'm not hearing his voice. And yet he can hear me. So there's something going on there. But I guess I'm on the air, so welcome to Freedom's Phoenix, or should I say the end of the world as we know it. And I guess you'll just have to tap me in if you want to chat. But I'll tell you what, guys. You know, if we weren't in doubt about Civil War 2.0 last time, we're certainly – here now, I think historians will look back and say that this is the moment we have lost, I think this country has lost the plot. And I think there's really no way putting this genie back. I know Ernie's gonna love this, and of course the fact that I can't hear him, this works out good now, so I can say whatever I want. but I'll tell you what, I'm not being Sean Hannity when I say that this election is the most important. And for the record, I never voted Republican before, aside from Donald Trump. When the Sean Hannity said this about Bob Dole, I voted Libertarian. When they said this about Mitt Romney and John McCain, I voted Libertarian. Screw them. I didn't buy any of that pablum. But keep in mind, what Donald Trump represents, and those of you listening to the show for a while know, he's not a Republican. And he's really a third-party person that took over the Republican Party. He did what Ron Paul tried to do, and he did it just with a little more bravado. He's not a standard Republican. That's why you had Mitt Romney, that piece of whatever. You know, he's sitting there marching in the Black Lives Matter just the other day, as you saw. He's capitulated himself, taking a knee like all these other politicians, because these people are they're swine. They can smell power. And wherever the power might be, they go to. And they're hedging their bets going for that direction. So, that's what these people are. They're rats who jump their own ship, not staying up for principle, except power. And that's what's left with Donald Trump, holding the line for the culture. And I've said before on the show, and I think more and more of you kind of understanding my point of view, whether you agree or not, that's fair. But I've said, this is not about policy. I know Ernie's always been frustrated, understandably. How come he didn't just Donald Trump go in and march all the troops home overnight? Why didn't he just stop the Federal Reserve and shut it down? Ron Paul, maybe he would have done that if he even could. But the policy issues I have given up on when I voted for Donald Trump. I knew that wasn't the main issue. That was for Ron Paul was policy. And liberals might want to argue about abortion, and other people want to talk about flag burning, the Second Amendment, which really is an important issue, clearly. But at the end of the day, this election, I think, is sizing up where more and more people are realizing this is not about a policy issue anymore. That ship has sailed. This is about saving what is this country, about recognizing who we are as a people and a culture. And I know it's fighting for the culture was something that we seemed like foo-foo and, just pie in the sky. And what kind of culture do we have? And anyway, people listening to this show for a while have heard these long discussions, and I think good discussions and debates with Ernie and I on these topics. Charles Goyette even chimed in on that a few times. So this is a much, much deeper issue. It's American culture. it's of the basics of who we are, and not to mention Western culture. And yes, Western does not necessarily mean white. Oh, I can hear you. I hear something. But Western culture.
Oh, that's Tim Pachote. Can you hear me now?
This Western culture, you know. Am I on? There's music or something.
No, it's here. Let me mute. It's Tim. You know, it's Tim making the noise. It's Tim.
Hello.
It's Tim. Go ahead. Boom. So we're doing the chat thing because we'll fix it in the break. We had, Tim is on there. Oh, now, you know, Frank dropped off. Damn it. Can you hear me, Tim? Tim, can you hear me? Tim, can you hear? Yeah, we're really wanting the Love Bus back, you know. I'm gonna shut Tim down, man. Holy crap. We're trying to work it through the system. Just tell Frank to come back on. It was Tim that had the sound in the back. Yeah, I got, you know, the cords plugged in right, I thought. You know, we got to see, we turn all that. And it plugged in, you know, so I'm, you know, line out, studio line in. When they come in, all right, we'll try it again here. There he is, admit. And then it's wanting to know what kind of admit. All right, can you hear me, Tim? I mean, Frank? All right, go ahead. We'll fix it in the break. Go ahead. Go ahead. We hear you. Boom.
Okay, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I guess I'm back. There I am. I'm back. So anyway, this election, I was pointing out, is really that important to solidify and describe the culture. I know Ernie makes a fair point. You know, don't give any power to the system and vote with dollar voting, wallet voting, and turn your back on the system. And I completely respect that opinion. I'm kind of summarizing what we've debated for months. But I'll tell you what, with all of that said, you know, there's also another type of dollar voting, which is cultural voting. And this vote is not about, you know, which person in charge with this shiny badge is in charge. That's not what this is. This is a cultural moment. This is probably an inflection point of our nation. One of those that, if our country survives all of this, will be in the history books, like World War II, like the Civil War, you know, like the Revolution. That's the moment that we have. But it's an inflection point of the entire world. So anyway, that's the moment that we're at. You know, I think also, I know it sounds a little hypocritical because we just went through, at least I will admit, you know, that the election of 2016 was that important. And now I'm saying the same thing, and I am. And it's not just because Donald Trump has great hair and, you know, he likes to put his name on buildings. That's not the reason. I think the election of Donald Trump, it really is a symptom of something deeper, of course. Remember, it's never been about Donald Trump. It's what he represents. It's the country that has been broken and fractured for so long. Oh, I see a piece of paper. Is that for me?
Yeah. We're coming back. We're going into commercial. We're in the break. He can see me.
I'll finish up with this point.
Yeah. Finish up when he comes back. You know, we'll be back in just a little bit with Dr. Frank Vampuri, and then the break, because that's why, you know, he was early by like a minute, so we didn't get to set it up.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Vampuri, Trump Report, he can hear me now. Yay! You know, so we got it all good. It's buttons, man. Buttons. And Dr. Frank wanted to make sure that I let everybody know that he was in at least a couple minutes early, so he wins. You know.
Well, actually,
I lost a lot of money on that pool.
I'm actually lamenting. That was a pleasure. I got a whole like 10 minutes and Ernie was muted the whole time. It was amazing.
I know. I was like, he's digging this. You know,
Ernie was like biting his lip going, I got to jump in here. So I got to fix this. So before we go in, I just wanted to finish the point, though, about how this it's almost like a two-part election, which is not about Donald Trump. It's the culture itself, and this audience has heard it. But I thought of an analogy just the other day, and that is one of my favorite movies because I'm from Philly, which is Rocky. And, you know, Rocky 1 is really incomplete. It's Rocky 1 and Rocky 2. And I know it sounds like some kind of excuse for a two-term president, but think of this over. It's true. Of course, plus with the music. But with Rocky One, remember, he didn't win. That's the irony. In Rocky One, he lost, right? That's the joke. And because he didn't win. It was Apollo Creed, the great Carl Weathers, I may add, who sat there and just busted him up. But he won almost on a technicality. It's just the fact that he just outlasted him enough. But he still, it was a draw. It was a tie. He didn't really win. And so in a way, that's how the last election was. People still don't think that Donald Trump won. They'll sit back and say, you know, that he's not legitimate. He didn't win the popular vote. People just were scared and they voted for him out of fear. They didn't really want him. I mean, everything. And then they bashed him relentlessly, as, of course, we've outlined on this show. And most anyone listening to this show knows, you know, between the Russiagate and the Mueller crap and this scandal and that scandal. And he jaywalked and then a fake impeachment. They wouldn't turn it over to the Senate. It goes on and on and on. And they try to outlast him for this next election. Of course, they didn't think he'd even make it this long. And now comes the next election. This election, like Rocky II, where finally Rocky had to go back in the ring and dominate and actually win. So there's no question who the heavyweight champion is. And I know it sounds a little
okay.
This sounds a little aggressive for libertarians. I know that's not what my point is. It's that as a culture, this is not about Republicans. This is not about Donald Trump. This is about the culture needs to finally settle who we are as Americans, because we can't keep moving the goalposts every 2 weeks now of what the left has done. The far left, they've lost their minds. Whatever's good yesterday is bad today. And this is not about principles anymore with them. This is a movement of anarchy to destroy what is left of this culture, so just simply that they can be in charge with their shiny badges. Now, I know for libertarians, it maybe doesn't matter, but I think it does matter, and that's something we can debate. But anyway, I've been able to ramble enough between my two segments. Ernie, go ahead, but I appreciate getting out that big picture of where we're at.
Well, you know, my thing is that there's, well, certainly here in New Hampshire, it's everywhere. I mean, we went across the country. It's that you got there was a post that we had up this weekend. It was called Cops, Karens, and Dystopia. I don't know if you watched that one. It was like
Cops, Karens.
Cops, Karens, and Dystopia. You should look it up. You know, where's Donna?
Yeah.
I'm going to have her send it to you. It was a guy that did he has a video thing called Out of Frame. And it was a lot of stuff that we talk about is using movies as a way to, you know, explain things and depict things. And I go, man, this is exactly what I've been talking about I want to do, but you have to do it on IPFS or something because you use too much of a clip, or I want to get this guy on because you use clips and you're banned. Yeah, that's, copyrighted if you're not allowed. And I don't want to have to worry about that. I want to make a point. And if I need 32.6 seconds of a clip, then that's what's going to happen. So where do I put that stuff? So that's what we're going to be working on. And when I watched this, his whole thing is that, you know, movies depict, it's not that the movies, do they change culture, they reflect culture, you know what, and it came down to V is for Vendetta. He goes, this whole thing is, I'm going, amen, where have I been saying this, you know, and and Hurt that played the High Chancellor was Winston in 1984. I mean, that wasn't lost on me either, and neither was it on him. So then there's another video we have up on Freedom's Phoenix on the front page now. It's about, you know, where do Karens come from? You know, what about Karens? Another 40-something minute video. And it's these middle-aged women that have, you know, they want to tell you how to live, and they'll do that with votes or their Facebook or whatever. But now they're in the street, and they have the authority of public opinion, they think, from social media and the law. So they're, man, they're out enforcing you shouldn't be out here on the beach because you're frolicking in front of me and my children so we can enjoy the beach. We want to be here by ourselves without you, and you go because I'm here or something. I mean, it's just weird, and it is a big, giant social experiment that we're all watching and privy to, and I'm looking 5 years from now, a year from now, 20 years from now, as we look back on today and how these people reacted, I'm wondering if they're going to be embarrassed. Do you think? Or are they proud of, they upheld, it's like the Stasi in Eastern Germany. You know, I ratted on my neighbor. I called it in. I got, you know, this mindset never won. It never turned out well. And it was never long-term supported. And you wonder if these people that are on video going ape crap over being what they are, if they are going to be proud of it. I don't think so. What do you think?
You know, I think they don't even see themselves at this point. You know, I was, when you were talking, isn't it interesting? There was a time back when you and I were kids, back I think when they invented the wheel. It's been a few years. where that you could be on the beach and people would have a boombox playing whatever music they wanted that could be loud and obnoxious, and people were smoking cigars all around you. And you know, there was a time where people smoked on planes and listened to music and did different things, and it was called life. It was just, I mean, we tolerated each other. You know, it was called life. I just watched some old movie from 1970s. Today, everything's so sterile, and I think in many ways the Karens have come up because of this irony, or the problem is that you want diversity, but as I keep pointing out, diversity is not really about race. Diversity, it should be about, I mean, to them, they're mixing up race and culture. We can have diversity in races and sexes and even genders. You want to have that whole debate. But what you can't have is diversity in culture in the same house. Ultimately, and I, by the way, I don't mean, I'm going to be really clear here. I'm not saying everyone's got to be a Roman Catholic and everyone's got to bow and be the exact same. That's not my point. But the thing is, we have to assimilate as a culture. And I've said from last time on the show, if you can't watch, what is it, Abbott and Costello, who's on First and Laugh and Get It, you haven't assimilated enough. That's my point. And therefore, you go to Abraham Lincoln, a house divided cannot stand. And that is why culture is so important.
Yeah, divided culture of what? See, everybody says that. And I remember that we've talked about this before, and I remember a questionnaire they did to candidates. I was running for Congress one time, and they said, you know, where do you see as home? I don't know, wherever freedom is in my family. I mean, what do you mean home? I got to pick a team? I got to wear the right jersey? What are you talking about? It's all like a mindset. It's over the music. We're not going to get it over the music. They can't even hear you. All right, we'll be right back. Dr. Frank Tamburi, Trump Report. We'll get to Trump a little bit here. I think we should.
Oh, yeah.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Dr. Frank Tamburi, and we'll get into, you know, like, you know, Trump. But the this battle has been going on forever, and it was we have Project Veritas with people with hidden cameras talking to head guys and how they've been planning forever and what the general public opinion is to get rid of Trump Penn so they can rule Seattle or something. With guns, and you know, give it. You're paying us now. I'm wondering who these guys are in Seattle that going around with the guns, and who's supporting that, and are they in violation of a bunch of stuff or not, and who's going to take it back? Are they going to take it back? All right, Seattle, it's you. Because what happened to Seattle? Seattle was Microsoft. Seattle is, you know, the high tech of Amazon, of, you know, they're the liberal bastion of, and I've been to Seattle and Portland and the Pacific Northwest, and it kind of, liberal, what are they going to do with all the homeless? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? And I, like when Detroit went down and the city rolled up the sidewalks and they turned off the street lights and we're not providing you emergency services anymore, and then freedom flourished and people started building and planting and doing stuff and bringing in the goats to eat all the weeds, and you know, when it was taken care of, oh, you guys are having a little bit too much prosperity here. we need to get you back in the system, and some politician cuts a yellow ribbon and said you're back on services, yay. You know, wow, this is an experiment. And I think what I've seen here in New Hampshire, Frank, is that people took it seriously. They, you know, didn't look to, you know, the government's going to save it for them. They clear some land. They put in some fencing. They get some livestock. They start growing. They're taking care of business, and some more than others. And others are being inspired by those that do. Now, for the last decade, there's been different farms and efforts and building slaughterhouses and refrigerated trucks and planting the right stuff and learning about different things that, you know, I saw the hogs out there eating hay, and I go to Jay, I go, hogs eat hay? He goes, of course they do. They've been lying to you about everything, you know, and I'm going, wow. And you know why they call it pork, the other white meat? He goes, because they were raised on concrete. They don't get the iron in the soil that they need to the point they're almost dead. They got to give them supplements and iron shots and everything. And the reason the meat's white is because they don't have the iron in it like they're a red meat animal. So you put them out in the field here and they start foraging and so on. It's not the white meat anymore. You know, instead of it being sickly white, they go, oh, no, that's a feature. So yeah. I'm just tired of the lies, and I think a lot of people are starting to see that it is serious, and they're not challenging, they're head down plowing. So while they're, you know, I'm glad that there's a lot of people protesting, you know, the government or whatever, saying open, 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 and I'm more just open. Man, I don't know what are you willing to, but they got licenses, regulation. Do they get their liquor license renewed? Do they get to open their restaurant? Do they get fined so many gazillion dollars a day? They've infiltrated themselves so much. And, oh, it's just a little permit. Oh, it's just a little fine. Oh, it's just a little bit of money. It's a little bitty, itty, bitty. It's not that worth, you know, fighting it until you can't do anything. Oh, no, we yanked that.
Well, but it's also, it's kind of the equivalent of, like, the Second Amendment. We often say that, you know, they keep want to regulate the good people and the criminals don't care, right? So you just keep – so all the people who follow the rules are those that you're going to disarm through whatever, tracking the bullets or doing this or doing that. It goes on, and yet the criminals don't give a crap and they're going to do whatever they want, right? So it's almost a similar thing where you have to use the coronavirus as an example where, okay, well, we're shutting down the country. And if you open up your salon, if you try to stay in business, God forbid, we're going to shut you down. We're going to take away your license, take away the liquor license. We're going to take away your license and all your abilities to do things because you're a law-abiding citizen. But then when all of a sudden the rioters want to come out, and then they can sit there and storm the castle, you know, do whatever they want to do, be within, you know, screw the social distancing because their emotions matter. And all of a sudden now you can go and they can violate social distancing. And so now that the riots are kind of dying down a little bit, and now Donald Trump, and we'll get to this after probably the next break, Donald Trump decides he's going to come back with the rallies since obviously protesting events are all
I know. That's awesome.
Trump decides to do it. Bam! All of a sudden, the CDC is coming out going, oh, wait a minute. The boogeyman's coming back now. We got to start shutting down again. And it's
amazing. Wait a minute. He's coming back because they got, you know, you can, you know, all right, you got a safe space and, you know, lock in and lock down and whatever, unless it's a protest for what we want you to protest for.
Exactly.
So, and then,
That's my point.
Well, he comes back with his rallies. What are they saying? Not this kind of protest or doing it wrong or side. What's their rationale?
Yeah, he's violating safety standards. It's amazing. Donald Trump said he was going to come to Arizona. He's going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which we're going to talk about that big time after the break. Guys, you got to hear about this one. But then the second stop or the third stop is going to be Phoenix. So he announces Phoenix, Arizona, the very next day after he says he's coming to Arizona to open up his rallies. All of a sudden, the news event was Arizona is on the top list of states where coronavirus is coming back for mysterious reasons. The very next day after he said he was coming to Arizona. This is my point. And now they're threatening to take away your liquor license and your business license. Just think about it with Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo, he sits there and says it's okay to protest, but now that all of a sudden conservatives and business owners are coming back, now he's going to shut you down and threaten you with the license, just like with the guns.
Governor Ducey is doing that?
They didn't say they're shutting the state down. I'm saying that all the pressure from outside, the system is now saying, oh, well, look at Arizona. Watch Arizona. So the pressure is going to be on Ducey. To basically, are you going to keep the state open and be responsible?
All right, I want to ask you before we run out of time in this segment. I want this kneeling thing that I was watching Tim Pool. One of the things that you send me, Frank's always sending me videos and stuff. Kind of confirmation bias of Frank, but they're interesting things. And Tim Pool was talking about the African scarves that they. Pelosi and Schiff and all these guys put around their neck represented a tribe that were slavers in Africa. they go, somebody did that on, somebody screwed them, man. They put that on.
Oh, no, wait. I just got to throw this out because I remember back in Philly, back in the 90s, there was the whole, during the 70s, it was all about Roots, which, it was a great show. And you guys, if you haven't seen Roots, the miniseries, check it out.
That's a culture thing. You need to watch it.
Yeah. Jordy LaForge is in there. But the thing is, during the 90s, it was all about Egypt. Like Michael Jackson did that big video about Egypt. And the whole idea was some researchers came out and said the ancient Egyptians who built the pyramids were really black. They were not Middle Eastern. They were black. And somehow white men and Middle Easterners took over the history and the heritage. And that's why there was all this Egypt stuff with the African-American community harkening back to the great times. So I keep saying, all right, you guys want ownership of that? If you want ownership that the ancient Egyptians where the pharaohs were all black, then that means that the most vicious slave owners in human history for 1,000, 2,000 years were black people. I mean, if you want to take ownership of it, then that means that the black community has the most. Can we talk about?
Yeah, but that doesn't forgive. Slavery is a.
It's a concept.
Yeah, the concept. It's not a white thing. It's a power thing.
Of course it is.
It doesn't make it any less bad. But I'm, I never owned slaves, and I don't know anybody that was one other than the government. Us kowtowing to them. But the enemy is – oh, okay, how much time we got? Damn it. I want to get this into the show. I do it over the break. I'll write it down. Because there's some revolution I just had. Let me write it down.
And by the way, remember, all this breaks from the whole explosion. So the George Floyd video still out. There's no evidence at all that it was race related.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock
and Dr. Frank Trump Report. Okay, I want to get this out. This is the one thing. As I'm sitting here thinking and everything, I'm going, this just doesn't make sense. This big pharma, we're mandating. You got a mandate, and you're gonna. Lose your license this, and you don't get government that, and you're not in for the bidding of whatever. And even through everything, the NFL is setting draft pick order based on how many women and minorities you have in the back office. So what? This meritocracy is not there. Equality under the law doesn't matter. They want equality. Not that everybody is treated equally under the law and you have the same opportunity and just by your merit or your ingenuity, your work ethic, your intelligence, your what? No, hell no. Everybody
by the way, Ernie, I'm not going to take you off topic. They just announced yesterday about the Oscars, changes at the Oscars, just like with the NFL, that now your movie cannot be considered for a nomination unless enough black people are actually on the production stage.
Done. They're over. Done. Hollywood's done. Done. I hadn't even seen any new releases I can watch if it wasn't produced by Netflix or Amazon anyway. I got a whole bunch of, I got James Bond. I got Mission and whatever. I got Top Gun 2. I got a whole bunch, Black Widow. I got a bunch of stuff that I was looking forward to, and all the theaters are going to go bankrupt and they're not. Now how are they going to control everybody? They've cashed in. This is it. They're you know, all that stuff was just to do whatever they're going to do in Disney. You know, this is amazing. Now tell the people about, you know, the your preschool experience.
Yeah. So it's, like Ernie was mentioning too, like there's the vaccine issue that's for much of this is how they're going to use that to control us. But the thing, the bigger, I'm going to talk about the preschool in a second. The biggest issue to understand, though, is that they keep moving the goalposts. This is not about policy anymore. You know, conservatives, libertarians, moderate Americans, you know, we have our disagreements over certain issues, and yet we're able to live together. But you can't be with somebody that it's not about the policy. They make you think it's a policy, kind of like the cat with the laser. And look over here, I'm all angry today about this movie. And then you sit there and you deal with that movie or this one issue or this statue or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that's not good enough. Then they switch it to something else. And we as a culture keep trying to appease them, thinking that somehow they will finally, you know, shut up, or we're going to get along, and we're just trying to just move ahead. And I think more and more people are realizing that capitulation is getting nowhere when they are changing the rules daily. I mean, daily. You can't even keep up with how many. What's wrong?
You know,
today.
This is the one thing I wanted to get out. Now's the point. Let me make this point. I'm going big pharma. I get the idea. It wasn't making sense until I realized they're on the offense to mandate stuff so that people don't start passing or supporting or advocating for laws that mandate that government not have a preference, not do health care, not require anything, not buy vaccines, not supplement, not sponsor, not socialize, not, and support a big pharma doing all that discussion, that they are causing harm, that they have to be double blind placebo, actually freaking, where's the stats, tested to something. They're going, hell no. They don't want that discussion, so they have to keep it on the offensive so that you're always going, yeah, but we want a waiver. We want, you know, screw that crap. They're using my tax money. It's just like the abortion issue. You want to, you know, do abortion and so on. That's a murder state's right thing, kind of whatever the hell. But my thing is that I got to pay taxes to fund stuff that I do. Why are we supplementing everything? Why are we, you know, so that discussion right there, and that's why they don't want libertarians. That's why they don't want this discussion. That's why they don't want the proper role of government discussion. That's why, because they're on the offense. The best defense is in the offense, and they got a lot of offense, but they pulled the trigger because I think they were desperate. I think they saw that there's kind of slipping, sliding away, and the globalism, they got Brexit and Trump and all this other stuff. They got to do it freaking now. And you got Project Veritas with these guys out getting the actual people in charge and on camera saying, you know, and then what? People go, oh, well, hell, we didn't know that. They don't care. They're either not paying attention or they're in support of, we got to make somebody and they're a Karen. Okay, so this always works out. It's just that in this time, in our lifetime, in this era, in this technological ability of people actually being able to watch the documentary, to share the ideas, they're trying to censor it, they're trying to curtail it, but that just Barbara Streisand brings attention to, I need to see what the hell are they trying to prevent me from watching. And I see this over and over, and I want you to tell the story. Phaedra, your daughter, you're putting in preschool.
So my daughter, she just turned 3, by the way. Her birthday was just the other day Sunday. Donald Trump's birthday, they shared the same birthday. I don't know how that happened. I don't know, God intervened. But anyway.
Which we definitely hear about often.
Yeah, we have 2 birthdays in our house. But anyway, but Phaedra was in this preschool, and she just started last year. You know, she got sick every day, the whole preschool deal. And then the coronavirus hits. And we took, you know, obviously they shut it down. They said they'd be starting the school up in a few months. They've delayed it to August. And then we just got a notice just about a couple weeks ago. And they said, the good news is we are going to reopen. Bad news is it's going to be a little bit later, but here's what they're also doing. They're cutting the staff by 50%, and they're also cutting the attendance by 53%. So now there's like a betting pool to see if your kid will even make it in, and it's almost like the Joker tryout program. I guess you got to fight to get your kid to have a spot again. So they've decreased it, and the people who run it are really sort of diehard liberals, and they believe everything they're seeing on CNN about how bad this virus is, and they're trying to go over and above with the criteria. Well, one of them, when they did their little podcast to all the parents, One of the criteria is they're considering mandatory mask wearing for all the children, right? The next thing, right, that's not going to happen. The next thing they want to do is stagger the pickup times. So that means that every parent has to schedule like a 10-minute window. And if you don't make it, then you get dinged. Like, I mean, the fact of parents picking their kids up and dropping them off within 10 minutes, that's pretty tough. But the last thing is they're considering mandatory contact tracing programs with the parents to make sure that the children are not anywhere they shouldn't be. And I've heard that in my support.
Whoa. What the hell does that mean?
It means that if you want to be your kid to be in this school, you have to agree to do contact tracing because it's all for the best of the children. So we know where the child through their family.
All right.
Wait.
Well, tell me what contact tracing is.
It's the programs they're putting on, they're beta testing right now in a couple states with Google, where basically they track on your phone who you are around. So they know if you're around somebody that was around somebody who was around somebody who had coronavirus, then therefore they can put a certain risk level on you. It's government tracking with the excuse that it's to keep us safe. It's the greatest con in the world. And the kicker is we've talked about it on this show. They're doing it in China. And I know, you and I talked about it, and that Chinese national on your show talked about it. But here's the best part. This guy for the preschool, when he tried to talk about it to all the parents on the phone call, you know, it was a big phone consult thing. He started off by saying, just so you know, advanced countries like China are already implementing this.
Oh, my God.
And he said it like a sale. I'm like, dude, it's China. It's called their communist China. That's the freaking reason they're doing it.
Were you able to converse back? Were you able? Was it just you got to listen or could you talk?
Oh, it was a one way. I felt like you when what happened to one of my rants on you. So I couldn't handle it. And we yanked her out. We yanked her out. And on the comment section, let's just say I left a nice comment explaining to him a little bit about history. And I even mentioned that I said, why don't you talk to a Chinese national? The people trying to leave their country to come here. We've had them on Freedom's Phoenix. Ask them how much they love the government tracking them everywhere.
Yeah, we have them on Freedom's Phoenix, but we can't get hold of them anymore.
Oh, jeez. You know, so that's what's going on here with your country, people. This is what's going on. This is how much they bought. And they can't even see the problem. They can't even fathom what direction in which we're all leading.
Well, where is it going?
Bring it up.
No, we got like 40 seconds here. Tell me, you know, is Trump going to win this election? Because a lot of people are saying, maybe not. I don't know. What's up?
I think we'll talk about his chances when we come back. But I'll tell you what, guys.
There is no coming back. This is it.
You better have your passports in order. I already set my passport for renew now because there's going to be a hell of a long list and a long wait if you don't get it till after the election.
Yeah, no, we're ready to be ready. We're on the road again. You know, this is it. A lot of people ask, Ernie, is this what you? Yeah, this is it. This is it. Got food. You know, got food. Well, we had a lot of food. We dispersed it amongst our children and kept what we got here. And, you know, we put our wealth in somewhere else and got a little crypto and a little something, whatever, kind of, and we'll survive. But we're learning a lot, and we're going to be hearing them. Donna's doing a lot of pictures. Now, put the link in the third hour, Donna, our pictures and stuff. So you go check that out. And we'll have this show up in a few hours. But I tell you, I'm looking forward to getting the bus back. We do all kinds of fun stuff after it gets all certified. But Dr. Frank Tamper, we're going to keep doing the room report, because if we don't, his head will explode. He's got a chance.